Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host Brett Hill, and today we have a great message coming out of the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, 13 through 23. I'm in the King James Version today. The title of the message is The Closer to the Cross, the Smaller the Crowd. So if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run, get your Bible, come back and join us. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. Starting with verse number 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Ye give them something to eat." And they said unto them, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. And then the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Well, church, I want to tell you today, this is a great miracle within itself that so many people showed up for the bread and the fish. They were there. They were listening to the word of God. They got the bread of life. And then Jesus provided the healthy food that they needed in the time of need when they were all hungry. Jesus performed a miracle. And you need to see that part there before we go any further, that when he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and broke it and everyone there eat, the statement that I want you to hear is the fact that they were all filled. No one was left lacking. When you receive the bread from Jesus Christ, you are filled. You are not left lacking anything. But I want to go on to this message today. I don't want to get on a sidetrack today on this, because it has, in this day and age, become very evident that people turn to God for stuff. People turn to God because it's not that they want to live a life for him. It's not that they want to live a life sin-free. It's not that they want to be set free from the life of sin and things that they've been doing here on this world and the bondages that they're bound to. They like to get the free stuff. God, I need a new car. God, I wish you would help me with this. Lord, I need a new pair of tennis shoes. And don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to be praying for God to help you with these things, but it doesn't need to be your primary focus in the life that he has given for you, because the most important things that he gives you is not cars and shoes and things like that, and it's not even bread and fishes either. But so many people, they turn to God for what God can do for them instead of what they can do for him and how they can participate in the kingdom of God that he has set forth in front of them. So if we read on in the Gospels, this particular story reveals this particular truth about human nature, about us being after the stuff. In John chapter 6, the record of this feeding miracle is also listed, but we also see that some of the crowd that Jesus fed there, some of the crowd after he put his disciples in the boat and sent the crowd away, some of them realized that, hey, he's sending his disciples to the other side of the sea. We can walk around the sea and get there to him. So some of those people followed. Some of them went on around there. We see that they went around the sea and they knew that Jesus had sent his disciples there. So they had a really good assumption that Jesus would show up there too. And another miracle in this passage is Jesus catching up to the boat on foot, walking on water. If you remember that story, this is where it took place at. He went across the sea on water, walking on water, and then got in the boat while there was out in the middle and calmed the storm. But when Jesus got to the other side with his disciples, a portion of that 5,000 people that had been fed just yesterday had already arrived and asked Jesus how he got there, because they knew he had sent his disciples on. They knew that Jesus stayed behind while he sent them away, and he wasn't in the boat, so they knew they weren't in another boat sitting there. They was wondering how Jesus got there. But look, here's how Jesus responds to their questioning and the fact that they moved around the sea and went over there on the other side to meet him. It's the same group of people, not all of them, just a portion of them. But look how these people, how Jesus responded to them in verses 26 and 27 there. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you're not seeking after me because you saw the miracles that took place. It didn't even dawn on you that I just took five measly loaves of bread and two fishes and fed this entire crowd that was over there. It didn't bother you at all that I was healing these people, and some of you standing here, you got healings and your body was afflicted and you was healed. It didn't bother you, these miracles that I had performed here right in front of you. But the reason why you're following me is because you got to eat of the loaves and the fishes. You're here, you were filled with food. You're here for the food. You're not here because of me. You're not looking for the Messiah. You're not looking for the miracles and the one that the scriptures have spoken of for all these times." Look in verse number 27. He says, "Labor not for the meat that perishes, but the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Listen, church, these people were after the free stuff, much like a bunch of people are now. They line up for hours. It's oh my goodness, this is Black Friday here today, and people line up for hours waiting for the waiting for a $20 off coupon to be applied to some toy that some kid is going to open up, throw the paper away, play with it for 10 minutes, throw it in the corner and never look at it again. But they'll line up for all kinds of stuff to get discounts. We just passed out our Thanksgiving dinners and to people in our communities. And the friends of these people who were selected to receive these much needed help, their friends were calling like their houses were on fire. And it's not that they needed help. Their friends, they were not on the list. They were not in the poverty list of the people. And they, you know, some of these people, they make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 or more. And they don't need the free turkey, a $25 or $30 turkey, but it's not that they didn't need it. They just wanted the free stuff. They found out somebody was passing out something free, and it's the greedy, selfish, self-centered human nature of if I can just get something free, if I can get some boost of some advantage today, if I can just take advantage of this deal, I'll be better off. This human nature just blinds people, church. It blinded the crowd of people who was watching the miracles with Jesus Christ. It even blinded the same crowd when Jesus made a handful of food just feed 5,000 people and their families. They didn't see the Messiah there. They didn't see the joy of somebody getting healed. They didn't see the miracles of multiplying food for the need. What they did see was the free stuff. This man is feeding us and we don't have to buy it. The Romans are taxing us to death, and this man right here is passing out free food. Let's follow him around, because every time he eats, he can make one fish turn into 50. He can make five loaves of bread turn into 5,000. It don't matter what the need is. This man just seems to be making food appear. So follow this guy. He's Santa Claus come early this year. Amen. That's the way these people look at him. They say, I can use my grocery money for something else this week. I can finally buy that thing that I've been wanting, and I can take advantage of what this man has given away, and that will give me that upper hand to buy that toy or buy that a tool or buy that chair or buy that TV or that video game console that I've always been wanting. So look at the people. Jesus tells them to believe on him. Right there in that scripture, let's be reminded that Jesus just multiplied a single lunchbox. But these people are saying to him, "What kind of sign could you give us that we might believe that you are the one that you say you are?" Really? Right in the middle of all those miracles, they was watching people getting healed left and right. They was watching the blind see, the lame walk. They was watching the dumb talk. They've heard all of the stories and everything that's been going on with Jesus Christ. And they too were sitting there. They saw the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. And they watched it right in front of their eyes. And they saw 12 baskets full of leftovers. And listen, the leftovers was put in the boat with the disciples. They probably followed them around the other side of the sea, wanting to get what was in the 12 baskets, most likely. But listen, despite all of that, what these people were looking at, they had watched one miracle right after the other. They had seen all the signs that they needed to see, and yet they said, "What sign will you give us that we might believe?" You know what they were doing? Let's manipulate him. Let's see if he'll break out the bread and fishes again. See if he'll do it again. It wasn't that they didn't see a sign already to know that he was capable of doing these things. They was just over there saying, "Hey, we walked all the way around this sea. We're hungry again. We burnt that bread and fish off. We'd like to have some more. Could you do it again?" Listen, then they bring up Moses and the manna. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." They just totally missed what Jesus was talking about. They totally missed what Jesus was preaching about when he was giving the message to them. And they bring up Moses and the manna that our forefathers, they got manna from the heavens. And Jesus said, he's just like, "Look, guys, come on. Stop it already. I'm the bread of life sent down from heaven. Those people ate bread and they died. But if you take of this bread here, you'll never die. You'll take of the bread that I give you, you'll never die again." And what did they do? Oh, they was no longer interested in him breaking some bread and some fish anymore. They were no longer looking for a sign. They were no longer looking for Jesus to prove who he was anymore. They just murmured. They argued among themselves, and this small portion of people that followed him around the sea, for the wrong reasons, I may add, they left him too. They walked around. Listen, church, the closer you get to the real Jesus, the smaller the crowd becomes. People like the idea of being a Christian. They like the idea of being part of a crowd and saying, "Look at me, I'm who I'm hanging out with." They like the idea of being a Christian until they're asked to actually live as Jesus wants them to live. When he starts telling you some serious things about changing your life, when he starts telling you some serious things about what needs to take place in your life so you can have eternal life, people just seem to disappear. You know, those loaves and fishes aren't that important to me anymore. I'll go find another food bank. I'll go find another source of free stuff. Listen, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 men of leprosy. I know I just changed gears and went to another story, but I'm going to show it to you again. I want you to see how people are, human beings are. In Luke 17, he heals 10 men of leprosy. These lepers are hanging out on the side of the road. "Oh, Son of David, please have mercy on us." And he did. They asked him for mercy and he gave it. Right in the middle of the street, he just healed every one of them. He just told them, said, "Go to the priest and show yourself to the priest and give the right sacrifice that you're supposed to give." And only one of them, only one out of the 10 turned around and came back to give God praise for the mercy that was given on them. All 10 of those people were healed. And Jesus was like, "What happened to the other 9? Weren't they 10 of y'all that got healed?" And they were. But those guys were sitting there waiting on the free stuff instead of waiting on an encounter with Jesus. We got to change our way of thinking today, church. We can't be sitting around waiting to find out, "Oh, God's going to increase my pocketbook. I heard scripture that says that you can't outgive me, so I'm going to go to church and put a $10 bill in the offering plate instead of a 1 because I need an extra 100 this week to pay my light bill." That is not the way God works, and if that's your intentions, stay home with your $10 bill. It's not going to work for you. God is not interested in giving you free stuff and doing stuff. Yes, he will help you in times of need, real times of need, but your heart has got to be right. You got to be focused on the real purpose while you're following Jesus. You got to be focused on wanting a real encounter with Jesus Christ. This is what religion looks like in today's church world, folks. I'm here to see what God can do for me. I'm here. What is God handing out today? I'm at God's spiritual food bank today. What can I take advantage of today? Is there something God can do for me? Can I come in here and get something free? What's the guy at the back of the church that's welcoming the visitors coming in? What's he passing out? Is there a free gift at this church? If I go around enough churches and get enough free gifts, I may be able to put some stuff on eBay and sell them off, and I'll be able to pay my electric bill. Hey, listen, I only say it because I've seen it, church. There's all kinds of people out there for every reason in the world. What can I take advantage of today? It's the human nature. Instead of God, what can I do for you today? How can I glorify your name? How can I lift you up and magnify you today? Lord, how can my life shine a light unto the people for your name's sake and give you glory? Listen, I know a pastor who has a pretty strict policy at his church concerning people who look for positions and titles in the church. His policy is called a toilet brush. That's right, it's a toilet brush. So when people come into the church and they say, I've served in this position and I've served in this position. I was the youth pastor here and I was the church clerk here and I was the adult Sunday school teacher here and I was the Sunday school superintendent at this church. These people, they walk in the church from all kinds of walks of life and claim to have all kinds of experience, and old people will really explode their resume to get the pastor's attention so that the pastor in this small town church will go, oh, thank God you finally sent me somebody to help me. And that may rightfully be so. God may have sent them along the way, but it's for a twofold purpose. You can believe me on this, because some people, they don't want to have a servant's heart. They don't want to come in and humble themselves like Jesus did. They want to come in and have a place of authority. So people say, look over here. Look at this guy. Look at what God sent us. Aren't we glad that this righteous and holy person has come to us? No, this pastor's got a toilet brush, and that's the test of your faith and the test of your humility, because he hands you the toilet brush and he says, great, I'm glad you showed up to serve the house of God today. I need the bathrooms clean for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I need these toilets clean. I want to make sure that the people, when they come in to visit this church and the church members come in, that when they go in the bathrooms, they're nice and clean and they don't look filthy and make people ashamed to be in here and make people embarrassed to be a part of this church. So I need you to clean these toilets, and just go ahead and you take the toilet cleaning and the bathroom cleaning for the next 3 or 4 weeks, and then we'll move from there and we'll find out what else I can get you to do. See, many people want the positions, but few of those people want the responsibilities. And even fewer people want to actually serve with humility. But you see, a person who will kneel down over a toilet to clean a toilet when it's not even their own toilet at home, and some people don't clean their own toilets at home. Some people hire somebody to come in to clean their own toilets because they won't even humble themselves to clean their own toilet. And oh, preacher, how in the world have we got off on toilets? We was talking about bread and fish just a few minutes ago. Well, hang on there. I'm gonna tie this together somehow, God willing. But if you're willing to kneel down over a toilet and clean a toilet and humble yourself in God's house and clean something that's going to be for the benefit for somebody else, it's a person who has enough humility to serve in God's house. That's a person who has enough humility in their heart to hear the word of God, to respond to God's instructions, and to serve the way that they want to be, the way that God wants them to serve. And he can work through somebody like that. If you come in, oh, bless God, I'm not gonna be cleaning no toilets, you don't have the heart to be serving in God's house. Listen, Jesus started out himself a ministry when he called fishermen and added them to a couple of John's disciples who had been told to follow them. So Jesus had got 12 disciples here, and he had 3 that he deemed humble enough to pull them into a special occasion, such as going to the Mount of Transfiguration, or going to witness Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead, going in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him before being crucified. He had 12 disciples that he called, and he was pulling 3 of them off to the side on multiple occasions. He had 12 disciples, and at the end of things, he had one of those even betrayed him and sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Listen, or 30 pieces. Listen, church, the problem that we got here is the closer that you get to the cross, then the smaller the crowd becomes, because nobody wants the real Jesus in their life. Very few people do. All but one of God's disciples, all of one but Jesus' disciples scattered when Jesus was beaten and crucified. But why is that? Think about this for a little while. Every one of his disciples scattered. And he didn't have anybody when he went to the cross, all but one of them. John went to the cross with him. Why is that? Why do people run from Jesus when he needs us? Why do people run from Jesus when he needs us to be working as his hands and feet here on this earth? But when we need him, oh, praise God, thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Where's my blessing today? Why are we so surprised at people bailing out of the church like it's on fire when they find out what God really requires of them? Why are we so surprised at things like that? It's all fine and dandy when people are going, oh, look at me and how good I'm running this ministry. Look at how well God has blessed me. Look at how well I teach these kids, or look at how well I teach this Sunday school class. I'm the best Sunday school superintendent that ever come. Or even, look at me, I'm the pastor of this church and all of this stuff has happened to this church. I did that. I did this. If I hadn't have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Why are we so surprised when all this is going on, but it's not so good for these people when, bless God, I'll teach the class, I'll pass out food, I'll sweep a floor, but I'm not going to clean a toilet. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go visit somebody. I'm not going to go out here and vacuum these floors. I'm not going outside and spraying the grass in the driveway. I'm not cutting the grass of the church. Somebody else can do some sweating. Somebody else can do some hard labor. God didn't call me for that. God called me to put on my suit and tie and stand in the pulpit. God called me to break out the Sunday school literature and teach. I'm not cleaning no toilets. Listen, that's why are we so surprised? Come on, church. Fill in the blank with whatever God might have spoken to you. And sometimes he speaks it through the Spirit himself, but other times he uses leaders such as your pastor or Sunday school teachers or other people to ask you to pitch in. And sometimes he uses a leader to offer correction and redirection for our benefit. But who do they think they are? I'm so-and-so. Who do they think they are correcting me? Come on, church. The closer we get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. Not everybody's willing to dedicate themselves, their gifts, their talents, their time, nor their treasure to God's service. Not people, just there's not enough people that wants to do that type of thing. They say, oh, I want to go to heaven, but I just can't. And then they say, I want God's favor on my life, but I want to help out in the church, but I want to see my kids saved, but. Listen, we want to attend to attach our own stipulations to the cause of Christ. We want things done our way. God, you can use me any way you want to, and here's the way I want you to do it. Come on now. Lord, I know you want me to serve you, but here's how I want you to cause me to serve you. This is the way I want to serve. I'm not interested in what you want me to do. I want you to bless how I want to serve you. While all the while, Jesus is just simply saying, crucify your flesh daily. Put on the mind of Christ daily. He who saves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will save it. How many of us, how many of you listening, how many out there in the world of internet that's listening to this message today, how many people are willing to serve him however he says serve him? He's wanting us to get on our hands and knees and cry out to him and say, Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do whatever you want me to do. Tell me whatever you want me to hear. Let me act on whatever you tell me to do. Lord, I want to serve you despite what you tell me to do. Oh no, you can't send me to the mission field. I'm too scared to leave my little comfort zone here. Oh, you can't send me out as a missionary. You can't send me out as a door knocker or an evangelist. I need to stay inside the four walls of the church where I'm comfortable. How many people are really willing to serve God where he tells you? He don't need all the service inside the four walls where people are protected by the gospel and where common-minded people come into the church. He wants the people to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20. He wants us to go where he needs us to go. He don't need 5,000 people inside the four walls of a church just lifting their hands and praising him only. He needs those people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with a conviction on their hearts, filled with an assignment for what he wants them to do, and then sending them forth out in the world like sheep to the wolves is what he said. But he wants us to go out there and serve him the way he called us to do. And if you don't have the humble heart, you're going to miss it. Listen, Jesus called 12 disciples and they followed him everywhere. Well, almost everywhere. In the Garden of Gethsemane, all it took was a few soldiers and they scattered like roaches when the lights came on in the kitchen. Peter denied him 3 times when the pressure got put on him. And even doubting Thomas doubted the words of all the other disciples that had already seen Jesus standing in the room where they was at. But Thomas had to put his hand in his side and feel the wounds before it ever believed. Listen, Jesus had 12 people that followed him until the hard times hit. Jesus had 12 until the burden to bear became obvious and then they scattered like roaches. Jesus had 12 until their own expectations of him faded in the shadows of the torches of the temple guards as they took him away to crucify him that night in that Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had 12 people that enjoyed the prestige of following the Messiah but dreaded the idea of being affiliated with him when his purpose was fulfilled. He had 12 people that loved to walk around and look at me, I'm with the Messiah. You don't know who this guy is, but he picked me. He didn't pick you. Blah, blah. You know how people are on the schoolyard campgrounds and things like that. But they enjoyed the prestige. They enjoyed what it made them look like and feel like and what others saw of them. These 12 people, this guy that's healing the blind and healing the sick and raising the dead, those 12 guys, they hanging around. They must be buddies with that dude, that real important dude. But listen, But they dreaded the idea of being affiliated with him when his purpose was being fulfilled. When he got drug off to the cross, you couldn't find one of them anywhere. I just wonder how much we truly are devoted to him. I just wonder how much we truly love Jesus Christ enough. Can we hold on to our faith in him when times get even harder? You think that times are hard, and I know there's people listening in all kinds of countries around the world to this podcast today, and I know things are really hard in your countries, and I'm sorry that you go through that. There's a lot of people out there that's truly suffering, but can you hold on to your faith when it gets even harder? There's harder times coming. Jesus had 12 disciples that followed him around everywhere, but only one stood at the cross with him. You see how small it gets? The closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd gets, church. Are you willing to go to the cross with him? Are you willing to see your Savior crucified for you? Are you willing to stand there and watch? Can you see your Jesus being crucified for you? Can you see your Jesus taking your pain? Can you see your Jesus taking your penalty for your sins? Are you willing to see and recognize and to picture his agonizing death and see yourself being set free because of it? Church, if you're here for the free stuff, you're following the right Jesus. Because his salvation is free. He's passing it out to anybody who wants it. If you're here for the free stuff, you're following the right Jesus because his healings are free. He didn't ask those people in the crowds, if I heal you, will you join the church? Will you put money in the offering plate? Will you come in and be faithful to sit in the chairs? He didn't ask anybody those things. If you're here for the free stuff, let me tell you what the real free stuff is. If you're here for the free stuff, you're following the right Jesus because his blessings are free. There's nothing you can do to repay him for your salvation. There's nothing you can do to repay him or even earn a healing from him. It's free to you today if you'll just believe on him. And you'll believe on him for giving it to you. I don't know who you are. I don't know who's listening to me today. I don't know what your burdens are. But if you're looking for the free stuff, I want to tell you about some free things that Jesus is truly passing out that will make a difference in your life. You're following the right Jesus if you're looking for salvation. You're following the right Jesus if you need a healing, if you need blessings from him, if you need a touch in your body, if you need your children healed, if you got something going on in your life that the doctors are saying that there's no way it can be done and you just need a miracle, you're following the right Jesus. He's got something free for you today. It's called grace and mercy and his favor. If you'll go all the way to the cross today, church, Take your needs all the way to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lay your burdens down at the cross of Calvary today. Come kneel at the cross and give it all to Jesus. Whatever your burden may be, the cross is what paid for your answer. The cross is what gives you the ability. The cross of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you. He died. He took those nails in his hands and feet. He took that spear in his side. He took the piercing of the crown of thorns in his head. He took the beating for you. So that whatever you're going through, he could give you some relief and peace. If you could cry out to him for salvation first. He wants you to be saved first. Let's get the first things out of the way. I want you to have life and life more abundantly. I want to give you these free things that I have completely paid for with my own blood. So whatever your burden may be today, the cross is what paid for your answer. Will you receive it today? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that everybody that is listening to this broadcast today, Lord, that you would touch their heart, Lord, and change the way they think. Lord, change the things that they look at and change the way that they expect things from you. God, that they would be looking for the right free stuff from you. Lord, that they wouldn't be looking for physical things here on this earth from you, Lord, but the most important things that you are handing out, you have already paid for. They're free to the believers just to receive. God, I pray for salvation for everybody that's listening. Lord, if there's one listening that don't know you as your Lord, as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that your Holy Ghost conviction would touch their heart. Lord, that you would cry out to them with your spirit of mercy and call them to an altar of repentance right now, God. Cause them to call you into their heart to ask forgiveness from you, Lord, and accept your sacrifice of her sins as their sacrifice, as their death, as their penalty. God, that they may receive that everlasting life that you promised in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's one sick out there today, Lord, I pray that your healing virtue enters into their life. Lord, that they would begin to receive. Lord, that they would begin to think the right way and let their minds be focused on you, God, in such a way, Lord, that you would cause them to receive the healing that their body so desperately needs. God, touch their lives. Bring their loved ones into salvation as well. Lord, let your favor shine upon the listeners today. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and ask it. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you on the next one. And happy late Thanksgiving. And I just pray that God's blessings are on you throughout the entire holiday season as we finish out the year here. We got just a few more episodes before the end of the year is up. Tell your friends to tune in. Share this broadcast with somebody. Share the link. Click on the link and share it with a friend. Help them have the lasting life, the life-giving word of God that comes from these broadcasts so that they too can be touched by the hand of God in their lives. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.